Classic
by Shiana.
Hi, it's Shiana. Welcome to Who You Calling Holistic. I am recording today at GOT Sound Studio. Shout out to Neek. And I'm here today with a guest. Where are you located? I didn't even ask that.
In Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. All right. Kentucky. I'm here today with Madison Tinder. Hi, Madison.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me today. Madison is, I don't want to limit your titles because I know you're big on being multi-passionate. So, yeah. But what I do know, one of your many titles is you are a branding coach.
Yes. Okay. I would say personal brand, business, marketing coach.
Okay. And what got you into that?
Oh my gosh. definitely a long story. I actually wanted to be a sports reporter my entire life. That was like my thing. All I wanted to do was work in sports. That was my dream. And I ended up going to school for that and moving to Dallas to pursue sports reporting, got my master's, and left my master's without a job for a long time, like a few months. I was like, I can't find a full-time job. I'm hearing no. So I ended up having to pick up a side hustle, a side job to be able to afford to live there. And I ended up doing social media for a doctor who she was the doctor for the Dallas Mavs and the Dallas Stars. So I thought that was like my in into sports. Mm-hmm. And I just actually fell in love with the social media side. So this was kind of back in 2018.
Okay.
And then I was like, I'm actually really good at this social media stuff. Cause I was like, well, when I was doing the social media back then, Instagram was just like photos. So it wasn't as complicated and complex as it is now. So it was quite easy. And I was writing blogs, I was doing ads, I was doing a lot of website management. And that's when I was like, I'm good at this. I'd love to pick up more clients. Maybe I can go all in on this entrepreneur journey while I'm still looking for a full-time job. So I went all in and stopped looking for a full-time job and was like, I think I could do this for a while until maybe, you know, I fail at it or whatever happens, happens. And that's when I kind of started my social media management business down in Dallas. And I ended up kind of getting capped with clients and not really loving it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I pivoted into doing more consulting. And that's when I kind of got into the online space. So I started with social media consulting, marketing consulting, then moved to coaching, like marketing coaching, then business coaching, then personal brand stuff. Now I kind of just do all different types of mentoring and coaching.
Okay. So you had your own experience, like when you went to college, were you studying journalism?
I was.
Sports journalism?
Yeah. So my undergrad, I studied journalism and communications, and my master's was sports business.
Okay. Yeah. And shocker, look at what has shifted with that.
Yeah, everyone's like, so are you still working in sports? I was like, no. That's 6 years ago, that might never be happening.
Yeah, so. I was going to ask, do you ever think about like dabbling back in sports with what you do now?
Not sports, but I actually would think it would be cool to be a reporter in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really cool. I love seeing on TikTok, like all of these influencers and creatives, like reporting on the red carpet and stuff. I mm-hmm. think that's cool. And I feel like that could be the direction that TV per se would be going in. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool in the future, and who knows what will happen. So,
okay. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll all be supportive of the pivot because that's what you get to do in this space when you are your own brand.
Yes. I love it.
I know you're big on that too. So let's get into your astrology placements.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I was laughing at, because I know you're a Cancer sun, Taurus mm-hmm. moon. What's your rising again?
Pisces rising.
Okay. So we're like opposites, and I'm Capricorn sun. Cool. So we're like compatible in a lot of ways on like our, we're like a yin and yang in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And Taurus moon, that's the thing I know about Taurus moons and like Taurus placements, generally speaking. Whenever I hear like a Taurus moon, I know what your decor looks like. Like when I hear Taurus moon and I'm looking at your background and I'm like, yeah, of course. When I think of Taurus moon, I think of there's going to be like slate grays.
Yeah.
There's going to be some creams and some neutral colors, nothing like too crazy in the home.
Right. That's what my home looks like. Yep. It's like cream, it's gray. My basement's like a dark color, like charcoal with a gray. Yeah. It's all like that in my house. Yeah,
that's funny. But then you're a lot more vivid with your branding. So
I know
that's dynamic
thing, but I don't know. I just couldn't live in like a pink house, pink and red. Like my office was pink and red for the longest time. And it drove me crazy. I was like, I need to live in neutral and express myself through color.
So I know you're also into human design, which I'm big into human design. And I know you're a generator or manifesting generator.
I'm a manifesting generator.
Okay. Samesies. How has that been for you learning your astrology placements and your human design in navigating your own personal brand?
Yeah. So I definitely think with my human design perspective, I've always deep dove into human design. That's like my thing. But I would say I've learned a lot being a manifesting generator with ideas. Like, you know, I get a lot of ideas and I can't execute right away. Mm-hmm. Like a generator may be able to, because I know if I execute an idea right away, I'm probably going to end up not liking it. Mm-hmm. And this has happened to me so much where I go and launch something or create a new idea. And it's really exciting. Like day one, day two, day three. And then I go and I do it. I'm like, this is completely draining. Or with like decisions, like saying yes to things. I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, I wish I didn't say yes to this.
Right.
So I've learned a lot with business with that, to like really sit and marinate in my ideas. But I also have learned about like the rest cycle. Sometimes I feel like I fall more into a manifester at times because I know like I have certain rest cycles and I don't need to be doing so much all the time in the business. And I think this could be also the Cancer in me as well. Definitely a Cancer. I'm very introverted. I'm very emotional in a way, like not like a crier, but I'm really to myself. I'm like a shell, maybe not fully online, but in person I am. And I kind of show attributes online with that as well. Now I'm a Taurus. I love, like, all I think about is food and sleep.
Right.
I'm from a Taurus Pisces rising. I know you really, people see you as kind of your rising sign is what I heard. I don't know a lot about Pisces, but I do know a little bit because I married a Pisces. So I know a little bit how we kind of relate into that way. I'm like, yeah, I could see that in me, you know, like more reserved and a little bit more like high strung and a little bit like, you know, reactive in some ways. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I have to take all of that with a grain of salt sometimes because I'm like, okay, why am I acting this way? Is it my human design or my astrology placements? But I really live my business and my personal brand more to my human design than anything, just because I think it's so fascinating to learn about it and my channels and my gates and stuff like that. I had a human design reading and I definitely just really relate to being a manifesting generator. I'm a 4-6.
Okay. So
I definitely relate to the line 6 of like being more wisdom oriented and things like that. So I definitely relate to that when it comes to growing my personal brand and sharing more of my journey and experiences.
Yeah. I'm a 6-2, by the way. So we have that, that 6 role model situation in common.
Yeah.
But I've learned.
Funny? Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say, you know, what's funny is I thought I was a 6-2 for the longest time. And it's because I didn't have my right birth time. So I put 1:36 AM. And it said I was a 6-2 main agent, but then it changed. My birth time was actually 1:36 PM. It changed me to a 4-6. Really resonated the longest time being a 6-2. And then it changed me into a 4-6. So I was like, I don't know.
Well, and there's still a lot of similarities there anyway. So that makes sense.
Yes.
So when you mentioned the Pisces rising, so I learned a big thing that I've actually been like shy about it with this approach to branding stuff, but somebody said to like really dig into your midheaven in astrology for your branding. And my midheaven is in Pisces.
Okay.
So Pisces is also seen as like the dreamer, the visionary, And a lot of times they can be mystical or delusional, you know, like there's a fine line, right?
Yeah, a little delusional.
So yeah. When I learned that, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense that I talk about mushrooms and like mystical things within my own brand kind of thing. So look into your Midheaven stuff for that too.
Me too. I'm going to do that right after this.
But as far as like what I would see probably with your Pisces rising is that like you are empathetic, like you can feel the things and help give people feedback with that information. So
yeah, I love that. That's definitely me. Yes.
So in a world where not every coach, because obviously you're an exception, but the majority of coaches talk about niching down and like find your very specific target audience. Like you actually are like, no, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
What made you pivot in that way to say like you can have it all?
Yeah. I think for me, a big moment was I started just feeling very limited in my business. Kind of like I thought I was feeling in a box for the longest time because I was taught pick one thing you're good at, create content around it, create offers around it, speak to that one person. And I just felt like doing that restricted me and I could help so many more people. Like, why wouldn't I want to speak to more people and do more things? And I also was like, I'm really good at a lot more than just this. I feel like I'm good at this. I'm good at this. I'm good at that. And I really wanted to embrace that through my brand. And I ended up working with a mentor who really encouraged me to kind of color outside the lines a little bit and really work on growing my personal brand. And I told myself that if I can really create a strategy for myself to be known for multiple things and speak to multiple people, that would make me way happier. And for me, it wasn't like a full strategy. It was actually just learning to really express myself more online and talk about all that I'm good at and really owning it. I felt like I was in a shell for so long in my business and wasn't owning it. And I think that's why I felt so restricted and in a box. And also starting Soulful Scrunchies really helped me understand that I could manage and do multiple things too, that I could have another business. And it actually helped me increase my skill set to be able to help more people with another sector of business too. And I just learned that the internet, the way that TikTok has taken over, the way that creatives have taken over, I feel like there's no one size fits all and not rules. Yes, like maybe you could grow easier if you focused and talked about one thing, but I've always wanted a challenge and I'm more happier being able to talk about multiple things and speaking to multiple people online as I want. I kind of just like don't want the rules. I just want to kind of do my own thing, change things up, pivot, because I say that, you know, I want to impact a lot of people. I want to make my name known. And I know I have a lot of problems that I can solve. And me being restricted to just one thing was not allowing my impact to kind of breathe a little. So.
Mm-hmm. And when you talked about having a mentor, so I think whenever you get into the online space as a brand or building a brand, I don't think people realize what it takes in investing into building a brand, because brand building isn't a course. Well, I mean, it might be a course, but it wasn't a course offered in my studies. So I know for me, same for you, you study your human design and stuff. What other things have you invested in for your own brand?
Yeah, that's a lot. I would say definitely my mentor. I worked with her for a while and I was just actually in a program with her. And I think for her, she taught me how to get outside of the box. Like it was almost like the encouragement that I needed to shift and change things, because I was someone who was rigid. Like I just followed the rules so much. I was very rigid. Mm-hmm. That's how I was growing up too. So obviously it was going to show in my business a little. Mm-hmm. And she encouraged me just to learn to express myself and, you know, start embracing your being multi-passionate. I've invested in a lot of photo shoots. And okay. I say this because One of my goals for the past year and year and a half was pushing my creative edge and getting as uncomfortable as I can with the way that my brand is visually representative, because I know that I love like looking at cool photography and like Pinterest. And I'm like, oh, like I really want to pose like that and do that. But my photos for so long were like me in front of a laptop doing this. And that just wasn't
hands crossed like the realtors and stuff.
Yeah. And that was never me. I love cool things. Like I'm all into that vibe and like the 80s vibe. And I was like, I'm going to learn how to push my creative edge and get as uncomfortable as possible with my like visual representation of my brand. So I do almost like quarterly photo shoots and I make them different. And I try to create photos that tell a story of like the next project I'm working on. So that, and because I'm really not great with like writing copy, but I want to learn how to visually portray it. So that's been big with the brand. And also just any rebrands and stuff like that I've invested in too. Ongoing community has been important. Like I'll invest in some memberships and stuff like that just to have someone to talk to and go through things with has been big, especially if I'm in a circumstance where I feel like everything is hitting the fan and I'm a huge failure, because that happens all the time. Community is just really important to me. But yeah, I would say I just consistently invest in things that get me out of my comfort zone. And it doesn't always have to look like a mentor or coach. It could look like, you know, a different style of photography or videography or a different colors with my brand. Like I just incorporated purple in my brand. Like that was big because I used to be against purple for so long. Like I just always loved pink, but I kind of started playing with different colors. Just like little things like that have really helped with people getting the feel of my brand more.
Mm-hmm. And something I discovered whenever I got into this space of like creating a name for myself and creating my own brand was just how much money is required or that you have to invest in this kind of field in order to get the results that you want. And when I started taking human design classes and I had a human design mentor and coach and stuff, and she would talk about how much she's invested in human design courses, because those courses are pricey anyway. But when she would say how much she spent on mentorships and stuff, I was like, wait a minute, how the fuck? But then I heard you talking about how much you've invested too. And I was like, okay, so it's like, it is, people don't realize. And that's why, like, how much would you say you've invested in a mentorship?
So I know. Safe space. It's been a lot. So I would say at least over $200,000-$300,000 in mentorship throughout my journey of since 2019. And I've invested, I think, over now $500,000, a little over more in everything. And I will say one of my biggest expenses was running retreats.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that too. So
people are like, I want to run retreats. And I'm like,
do you?
You stack the cash now in your bank account, because it's like, yeah, I kind of got myself into it. I was like, ooh, yeah, this is a big expense, but it was like obviously the best thing I've ever done. Yeah, I'm like continuously, there's definitely been heavier periods of time. I've invested way more in like the first 3 years of my business, and kind of as I scaled, then I invested in a team, and then now I'm kind of up and down with what I invest in, just because obviously we also have other priorities that we have to pay for, but there's different seasons for sure that I invest more heavy.
Right. So let's get into those retreats. You were offering retreats, and I don't know, you don't have a current one.
Not right now.
Okay. But you would do retreats and teach like the brand strategies and stuff at your retreats?
Yeah. So I ran 5 retreats.
Okay.
And so kind of what my process with retreats was, is I would collect like an onboarding form with the people who are coming to the retreats and find the collective struggle and transformation that they wanted. And that's how I'd kind of craft the curriculum of the retreat. Everything was always cohesive. And I always kind of attracted people who were struggling with the same things just because of my brand message. And, you know, I did Dallas, Naples, the Hamptons, Sedona, and here in Louisville. And they're just so, they're so epic. I love them so much. I did more intimate ones. It was like five or six of us. And I just thought they were great for people who almost didn't want fully long-term support, but wanted quicker transformations, wanted to like implement right away and really needed that push. And yeah, I ran, I think what happened for me that I, you know, wish I did different, I ran 3 and 8 months. In an 8 month period, my manifesting generator self just was on like a complete high for 8 months. And I ran 3 and 8 months. And my last one was January of 2023. And then I stopped running them because I got married last year. And now I'm like finally catching my breath to be able to run another one next year. But I definitely don't, I don't know how people do so many all the time, because 3 and 8 months was, it was a lot. I feel like once a year for me might be
right. Right. I have a retreat on my to-do list. And I actually had a guest on here that looked at my astrology stuff and was like, you're supposed to have retreats. And I was like, look at that. It's yeah. even aligned with the stars.
Yeah. I love that.
What would you say was your favorite of those locations?
Sedona. For okay. sure.
Yeah. That was on like my top three for like that or local-ish.
Yeah. I think that there's something about Sedona. I love it so much. I'm actually going back this year, not for a retreat, but for myself. Mm-hmm. There was something about it that was so magnetizing. And I know it's very spiritual and there's like lots of portals there, which I love so much. We went to like Cathedral Rock and it just, the vibes were so there. Like the vibes matter so much in a retreat. Now I did love the Hamptons because we went in the fall. It gave like very Gilmore Girls vibes, which I loved. But I feel like Sedona, there was like so much more that you could do like activity wise. But loved it. I loved all of them. I've always kept them the same structure, but we'll definitely have to do Sedona again because it was epic. So
yeah, I hear those things about Arizona too. The portals, the vortexes, hot springs and all of that. Yeah. Do you feel like that one in particular was more transformational based off of the spiritual aspect for your group?
You know, I feel like there was so many great transformations for all of them. I will say my one in Louisville that I did, that I hosted here, it was like one of my first ones, maybe just because it was one of my first ones, just was really amazing. And I actually still work with a lot of my clients that come to my retreats anyways. But I think Sedona, I liked it best because I liked the location best. But, you know, I feel like the transformations were the same for almost everyone, like what they got, because the material is very different. But I feel like, you know, the people who were drawn to the locations were kind of drawn to the locations and what they experienced. But Sedona and Louisville were very top for me. So,
yeah, I'm definitely checking out Sedona. I can't remember the name of that. There's a particular retreat or spa space in Sedona or in Arizona that I'm like, that is on my to-do list. It is ridiculously pricey.
Miyama?
Possibly.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Okay. I feel like it starts with an A, maybe.
Okay, there is. Oh, is it like the, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it all over TikTok and I love that one too. That one looks, yes, that one's like very, very pricey.
Yeah.
Looks amazing. I know the one in Miyamo that I'm going to, you can like, I'm setting a schedule. So like you'll wake up Monday, go to reflexology and you can get like a astrology reading and then you can go get a little juice, like
into it.
Like that's like that type of like very kind of structured a little bit.
I like it. Yeah. Cause I'm all into the self-care. If I'm going to go, I want like a loose itinerary with something like that, you know, like, let me lounge in leisure and then let me do some self-care and rest and like back and forth with that.
Yes, definitely.
So with your experience as a branding coach, what are some of the key elements to building a strong personal brand in the digital age now?
Yeah, I think you have to be the first step is really understanding what you want your message to be and what you want to be known for. I think that's huge. I always say, and I teach it in one of my courses, like the first thing you have to go through is, what is your brand mission? What is your brand message? Because that is like a filter through everything that you create, whether it's content, digital products, offers, retreats, whatever you're creating online, is really being clear on your brand message. Because it's hard to create when you don't have that foundation. So really, you know, what you want to be known for, what your brand mission is, why you're doing what you're doing, and what the greater vision is so important. So that doesn't get lost in translation as you grow. And then I would say another thing is your brand personality, because I think a lot of people create online and it's not how they want to create. It's not them at the end of the day. And I went through the same thing, and really identifying what you want your brand personality to be, how you want people to perceive you, all from your colors, the way that your visual elements are, means so much. I feel like, you know, because that is what is authentic. Authentic doesn't always mean, you know, no makeup, just showing up as me. Sometimes for people, it's authentic in the way they visually represent themselves, what they say, the statements they say, what they want to be known for. Like, is your brand truly you? That is something that is extremely, extremely important. And then I would say a huge element is really infusing your personality into your brand, like you, because like there's so many posts online that are just carousels or just like little one-liner posts, and that's great. Or the rise of the faceless brands is like huge now. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you want to have a personal brand, you have to add your personality, whatever that looks like. Like, you don't have to be bubbly. You don't have to be, or you can be bubbly. Like, I'm more reserved and chill. That's my personality. And I think that you have to do that through your audio, through your copy, through your reels. And it's kind of looking at, that's why we follow TikTok influencers and creatives so much. And that's why we're drawn to certain ones, because we can obviously relate and get their personality, mm-hmm. and we get who they are. And that's kind of how we have to be online too, to cultivate the community that we want to cultivate. So I think those are really big elements. But to me, like, I'm all for like just start creating and just start posting. I think that's the vibe, but you can't lose sight of the foundation of why you're creating and what you want to be known for and what that brand message foundation is, because it's so easy for that to get lost when you're growing. And then you start attaching your worth to money or external things, and you have to really know why you're creating, because growing a personal brand is really hard, and it takes time to grow a reputation. It's going to be very up and down, and you have to kind of go back to how you want to be perceived and what you want to create.
Agreed. And I'm big also on the just start. And I mm-hmm. tell people this all the time too, because they get in their heads and they're like, they have these visions of like the next part. Yeah. But they're not just starting. And I'm like, you can have that, and you can have even better than what you are visualizing, but you got to like, just go ahead and take a step forward to do it. Cause you're going to be in that, you know, progress paralysis. Like, you're not going anywhere at all.
Yeah.
And I know for me, like, learning how I wanted to show up in the online space was big in the, because nobody was teaching me. Nobody teaches you that kind. Like, you can see, like you said, influencers and other people online that you're like, oh, I like that. And I like that. But I don't like that. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want to be doing TikTok dances for my brand. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not for me. It's for somebody else. But that's, yeah. I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that.
Yes.
Obviously you're not going to be doing TikTok dances either. What are some of the common pitfalls that you see with people building their brands?
That's a big one. I would say they start to have a brand that feels and looks chaotic. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for like, just start, just post, just do the thing. But I'm so strategic. Like, I love a good strategy. And I think that a lot of people start to feel wobbly when they don't have a strategy and when everything feels kind of chaotic. Because growing a personal brand isn't really just posting whatever you want, right? Or it's not just posting your favorite Starbucks drinks or your morning routine or whatever that is, right? It's kind of built on a deeper strategy. So I think that a huge pitfall is people stop having the strategy and just throw spaghetti at the wall. And they're like, I'm just going to do whatever I want because, you know, Alex Earl did it on TikTok when she created her make. Like, that is a once in a lifetime thing that happens. And I think that especially if you're monetizing or you have a business or you sell digital products or services, whatever you're doing, you have to have a strategy when it comes to growing a personal brand. And I always tell people that that comes from understanding your content pillars, which are not educational, motivational, et cetera. It's like, actually, what you want to talk about,
right,
is knowing how to repeat them on a weekly basis. And it's understanding how you're infusing your perspectives and your values and your unique concepts online. And that's really what it is in its entirety. So it's not throwing spaghetti at the wall. It's creating like a weekly personal brand strategy that you can repeat and do and be consistent with. Because the more that you repeat and do, the more it becomes a routine and it's easy and you're naturally doing the strategy, right? You don't even have to think about it, but it's, yeah, not throwing spaghetti at the wall, kind of
right.
Creating your own strategy for it.
Now, when it comes to the different offerings that are available out here in the online space now, there's digital products, there's memberships, there's courses, there's, you know, program, there's like, there's different options out here available. Mm-hmm. Do you have one that you think is better than the others, or like it is your it's going to be your go-to no matter what, or one that you would even say like just start here?
That's a big one. I feel like so many people will tell you to create like a really high ticket package at first. And I get it. I understand where they're coming from, especially if they're someone who wants to leave a 9-to-5 or they're in a toxic work environment and they need to make money, right? But it's really hard to sell something that you don't like. It's really hard to sell something you can't back up based off your strengths and skills, because you could spend so long selling a high ticket offer that you hate and it's not going to sell. And then, you know, you'll automatically really be able to sell what you love that's good. So I always tell people you have to start off with who's in your audience and your strengths. Like, what are you actually good at? Like, what is the thing that you're good at that you want to maybe focus on at first and create based off that? Right. So I always tell people, like, I have a membership, and a membership is really great to sell. It's a low ticket, but it comes with a price of you have to grow your audience, right? Because you need to sell low ticket to more people to actually make the money that you want to make. But right. Having a high ticket offer, you can sell to less people, but it's a little bit more pressure to sell it and a little bit more sales calls, a little bit more conversations, right?
Or strategy.
So it's looking at, you know, what are your priorities when it comes to your business? Like, what do you want to build your business on? If you want to build it on volume and impact, maybe you start with more low ticket offers or mid ticket offers. If you want to start a little bit more niche and specific and narrowed in, maybe you start with something that's more higher ticket or a higher ticket service, right? I don't think there's right or wrong to do it. I think it's your priorities with your audience and where you want your business to go. I've had clients who started with courses and low ticket products. I've had clients who start with really high ticket products, depending on what they want. I have a lot of clients who don't really want the volume and impact, who just kind of want to do their thing based off their strengths. I have clients who want the volume and impact and, mm-hmm. you know, have many offers because they're very multi-passionate. I think it really depends. I say start with like what you really love and what you want to start with and what your audience is ready for.
Right. I know when I first got into the, because I've shared with my own audience on here as well, when I started this podcast, it was in 2020. So I had a pause from working in person on people as a massage therapist to sharing what I've learned in the holistic world from doing that kind of work for, you know, a decade. And then I was like looking into the coaches that were available and the branding coaches, and like everybody was sell a high ticket offer. And I didn't have like the basics before the high ticket. Like, I didn't know about brand pillars. I didn't know about strategy. I didn't. And it was like, Where's that in between? Like, what, how'd you get to that part? Cause I can't even afford your high ticket offer to teach me about how to sell a high ticket offer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think that part's important because like, you got to know your audience, or like, you might think that you need that, and you got to start at a different space before you're at that one.
Yeah, completely agree. I think that, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people come to the online space with different strengths and skills. Like, I'll have people come to me and they'll, like, for example, I had a girl who came into my membership. She has a warm audience, like a very, very warm audience and a very big audience, but she doesn't sell anything. Like, she tried to sell a high ticket offer. It didn't work. I'm like, she's like, I really want to sell like a digital products or digital products, but I heard like not to do that. I had to start with high ticket. And now she's like selling a lot of digital products. I'm like, you have to leverage what you currently have and your strengths. And sometimes you just have to start small, and that's okay. And like, work your way up to kind of what you want to sell or what you're going to sell in the future, because it may change. And if you're multi-passionate, it will probably change. So.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you also, like, I think people underestimate the need to have the whole trial and error. Like, you're going to have to test out some things to see what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be an icky space, because you're like, then your ego's crushed, because you're like, nobody wants what I have to offer.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you just got to change up the copy for it. Maybe you have to change up the consistency you're talking about it.
Yes, that happened. I had to test my membership for like a year and a half. I was in a really weird space with it before it kind of started taking off. And it was a really weird year and a half. I learned a lot about it and what I wanted. And like, it happens. It may be a long, icky period. It may be a short one. But if you love something, you have to go through that. Mm-hmm. So.
And I was sharing with a friend recently, because she had an event that I definitely would have attended. And she had only posted about it one time on her story. And this is somebody, I watch her stories daily, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I see her content, I see her posts. I did not see this one, because algorithm things or whatever the case. And I was like, hey, could you maybe post about it more? And I shared a particular post of yours with several people in my circle about how many times you posted about an offering that you had. Yeah. 62 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think people realize the need for repetition. And like, even when I hear like repeat yourself, I'm like, fuck, how many times though? Like, how much? Yeah. But apparently at least 62.
Yeah, that was, it's a lot, but like, kind of what I'm in the, if I feel like if you love something so much, you can talk someone's ear off about it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I picture. Obviously, sometimes it gets annoying. Like, but if, you know, if you run a business, you're kind of in sales too. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're selling things, you're in sales. And yeah, my last launch, yeah, promoted it 62 times in many different places, emails, stories, post, majority on stories. And yeah, like, sometimes I'll have the thoughts of, am I annoying people? Am I doing this? But you know, I never get annoyed when someone else is selling. So right. I'm just like, you know, that's amazing. Like, go you. Like, mm-hmm. I love what you offer. But yeah, so many people are just kind of selling things like once a week. And I'm like, that's not how it works. If Target can email me 5 times a day, you can get on stories and sell your service.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's also that overcoming I think a lot of people, I know for me, even it's that I don't want to feel salesy.
Right.
And it's like, you don't have to feel salesy. You just have to navigate how to talk to the people and the storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just so many different angles to sell. Like, obviously put up like one Instagram post or a caption that's like, buy my thing now. Like, that can feel salesy, but if you really know how to lead people into, you know, building awareness around your product, you know, telling stories, talking about clients, selling it in different ways, it makes it fun and entertaining. Mm-hmm. But it takes time, so much time, to build awareness around an offer. Like, mm-hmm. so many people will sell something one time, never talk about it again, and mm-hmm. complain that they're not making money with it. It's because your audience sometimes doesn't see your stuff every day. So that's why it's so important to be able to try to sell every single day. Whether that thing is free or paid, it's kind of get into that routine with it.
Yeah. And I know when I first started learning about the marketing aspect of this space, I was told like you have to share something at least 7 times. But then like the more I studied, I was like, no, it's more than seven.
It's more. It's like 62 times.
Right. At least. At least.
At least.
Yeah, which is wild, but also makes sense because you don't know who sees it, who doesn't see it. Yeah. And like you got to drop it. And then they still need to hear it a couple times because they've forgotten, you know, they've moved on to their next thing or opened an email or whatever. And you're like in their face a little more because algorithms.
Yeah. And people forget too. I had someone who DM'd me the other day. She was like, I literally forgot to buy your membership. I'm going to buy now. Like I just saw your stories. Like people forget. I'm someone who forgets. Like
same.
I need like a little follow up or sometimes I'm like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. I literally forgot. I'm literally doing 5,000 other things. That's why like, I want to see it so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you navigate between showing up authentically and also like having the strategy with that? Because I know there could be, there was this like big push for, you know, like very polished and very like curated feeds, you know, but that's not like, that's not how you move at all. And that's not how a lot of people are moving forward. So what does that look like for you?
I hate to say this because I am such a strategy person, but I literally think there's energy in people's posts. And no, I think
this is, I know who you're talking to.
I know, but I'm thinking because I'm so strategic and like, I love a good strategy and I understand when it comes to content strategy, but so many people create posts and create this certain aesthetic because it fits the mold of what they think they should do. And the energy is just not there in the posts. And that's why they don't work. That's why the posts aren't working. And I built my brand for a long time off posting from my notes app. Like I just had a time and space where I would just, my thoughts were just like coming at me hardcore and just post from my notes app. I had zero strategy during that time. So what I like to do is not let my strategy restrict me in a box and I allow my inspiration to take charge more. So like, you know, for example, I'll lay out a little mock strategy for like the launch of my membership. Like I'll make sure like my waitlist is good. My masterclass is good. Like that's very important to me. And I'll lay out like mock post, right? But if one day I'm getting hit with so much inspiration and like a really great post, I'm going to post that over what I had like scheduled or posted. Right? Because I know the energy difference is going to be there. For me, it's really hard for me to plan in advance because I know by the time I get to that post or whatever, I'm probably not going to like it. So I do a lot of things that obviously push my creative edge and give me inspiration and work with my creativity. But that's what allows me to be authentic, is to really write a lot from my thoughts and create like a mock strategy, because I'm very authentic when I thrive in strategy. That's something that I love and that I embody so much in my brand, but not to a T where it puts me into this like small space where I can't get out, right? Because I have a problem with putting myself playing small and not being able to get out. So I lead with more inspiration and I back it up with a mock strategy. And that's kind of how I show being authentic. And then also just creatively expressing myself has been easier, and just every day giving myself time and grace. Like this week's been really tough on me. I haven't really wanting to show up. I haven't created a lot of content because I'm running this 2-day event. So I'm kind of staying in my lane and honoring that. Like that's okay. I'm like in a little cycle right now, a rest cycle, and that's good. I don't want to show up and put on like a face that like create something and that I hate just to show up, right? Like that's not being authentic to me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I know like I definitely relate to that aspect too, because when people are like, batch your content. I'm like, no, I can't, I'm not going to be feeling it after, like, I'm not in that same mood anymore. I've already changed my entire persona tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, like batching content is pushed by a lot of coaches and it's not for everybody.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, I can't. I literally the last time I can't even remember last time I batched content, like maybe for 2 days.
Right. Same. Yeah. like oh, look at me. Like I had a little wave of some inspiration. Let me go ahead and schedule these. But yeah, it's like a day before and I've got two posts scheduled kind of thing.
Yeah. It's been years for me. I can't even remember.
Yep. How do you navigate negative feedback when you are putting yourself out there in the online space?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've gotten some negative feedback. Definitely some people who just, I feel like I've seen a lot of, and I don't want to say like people are posting from my posts at all. Like I never want to see that, but sometimes there's coincidences where like I'll make a post on like niching and then literally 5 seconds later, I'll see a post that's like, you know, if you don't niche, like you're stupid or something like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm like, like, you know, this person's suspicious. I had a client who actually posted about, she was like, you know, if you don't have a niche, blah, 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 blah. And I actually messaged her from it. And she was in my membership. She's like, but you do really well at teaching about niche. And I was like, you know, I get it. You just need some new perspectives. That's why you're my membership. Right. but, you know, I just kind of ignore it. I've never really been someone to let anything faze me. I feel like just because I grew up being an athlete and I feel like I got talked shit to all the time. And I just was like, whatever, F it. So it's never really fazed me a lot. It just kind of fuels me more. But I'm not at the place where I have like a lot of trolls. Like, you know, I see people who have blown up on TikTok and they're getting absolutely destroyed in the comments. Like that might really impact my mental health, but I haven't gotten to that place yet. So we'll see when and if it happens. But yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone's going to have something to say, but if I'm here to please everyone, like what am I doing? Just kind of here to focus on me. So
that sounds like some shit she honest says.
Oh yeah. I love it.
So what is your medicine?
Yeah. So I feel like I really pouring into myself is actually, I know this sounds weird. It might not sound weird, but coaching volleyball.
Okay.
It's like, I love pursuing other passions and volleyball is a huge passion of mine. And I feel like when I started coaching volleyball, I like healed a small part of me. Like I healed baby Madison a little bit. Since I ended really bad. I feel like coaching has allowed me to give back. Like obviously coaching in my business does that, but it's kind of a different style of coaching. So I coach club, I coach high school, and like being able to give back to the girls has been amazing. And it's like really allowed me to pour into me. I just feel like I'm a better person because of it. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like I was in a place where I couldn't take care of myself because I was just working from home all day, just kind of felt lazy and bored. And I just feel like I wasn't taking care of my health and my mental health, but volleyball allows me to like get outside the house, exercise, be able to like, not think about business, be able to like challenge myself. So that's been a really powerful move for me.
Yeah. It sounds like it kind of gives you time for play. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm definitely going to, I have to share, I'll have it in the show notes so people can check out your info, your memberships, your things. Yeah. And I also have to share, like, for everybody listening, I had asked Madison, and this is when I was like, I got to bring her on here because you're good at clarity. You're good at providing clarity for people that are like, what do I, where, I don't, and you were like this. And I was like, oh, duh, like immediately, duh. And yeah. I had asked you, like, I know I'm talking to, and I've shared it on here, I know I'm reaching several different audiences. Like, so I don't want to niche down, but like, how can I make more of an impact to these specific audiences? And you were like, yeah, well, you could have a course for, you know, this group and then like a digital product or something for this. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
So you know what my digital product's going to be?
What is it? I'm excited.
A mushroom ebook.
That is going to be so fun.
It is.
I mean, you've had a podcast for so long and you have an audience. Like there's just so much that you can really leverage. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So
thank you again for that. Obviously, y'all check out her stuff. She knows her shit. Yes. And thank you again for being a guest here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Madison for joining me today. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure you meditate and hydrate. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Who You Call in Holistic. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can find me and all my services on shiana.com. That's Shianah.